The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday morning show where we are live and local. And we take your calls all morning long, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And I've been trying all morning long to get myself in a better mood. And let me just give you the run up. To why, if you're getting on the phones right now, just bring it. Bring it hot. Bring it right. Let's be polite. Let's exchange. Let's have a conversation. Because I am just ready to do battle. You know, I remember back to the martial arts days and the Colorado Karate Classic. And when you're getting ready to get into a fight, high school fight, whatever it was, don't you get into a kind of a zone, kind of a mood? Everything really slows down. You see it more clearly. You know your heart's beating and your blood's pumping. But for me anyway, it's slow breathing. And even though I know my brain is going at hyperspeed, just very determined decision-making and efforts as you move forward. And so I'll explain all that here in just a second. Yesterday, I went through this ridiculously stupid process again to get my motorcycle certification. If you're regular listeners, you know that I got pulled over, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And the cop said, "What are you doing on that hog?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And of course, I'm always polite and nice with cops. I respect cops that do the job well. And I show that every time. It's dark, put my hands up on the handlebars. No worries about me reaching for the firearm or the knife or, you know, just I want a cop approaching me to be totally at ease. Why in God's name would we ever add more apprehension to the things that they have to do every single day, and especially at a traffic stop? So he comes up and he says, "What are you doing riding that? What do you mean? You haven't had a motorcycle endorsement in 7 years." And I said, "That's news to me, you know. I think I was 60 then or 59 then, and I'd been riding for 42 years. Never had been riding without a license or an endorsement." So apparently at some point, Colorado dropped the motorcycle endorsement off my license. I never knew it. Guy was cool, you know, let me go. No problem. Just said, get it fixed. So I found out what the process is. You have to go in. You have to take the dumbest written test I've ever seen, and one that is flat out wrong. There are answers to the questions on the written test for motorcycle safety and how you would respond in certain situations where cars are absolute bullcrap. So I literally had to take the test once and then retake it after I saw the answers they wanted. And they don't give you the same questions over and over. But I immediately understood the thinking. I'm an aggressive avoider of problems. Whether I was flying planes or driving fast or riding hard, I'm an aggressive avoider of problems. So definitely a different solution to some of the things that they ask you about on this written test. So went ahead and passed it. You can do it more than once, you know, the same day while you're there. I think they give you 3 tries, but passed it. Then I had to go arrange a writing test. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I show up at Rocky Mountain Harley-Davidson for the riding test. Super nice guy comes out, very serious, you know, been doing this a long time. And, you know, first question was, are you sure you want to rent a bike? Because I'm there on my 900-pound Harley, and they've got these little, you know, cones and these little tight turns and these little short areas where you've got to accelerate out of the gate up to 18 miles an hour and then hit the hooks. And the goal is you got to stop within a certain period, and as soon as you stop, the bike cannot rock forward or backwards. And during the actual test runs, and there's four different sections. So they're, you know, little short blasts, and then you gear up for the next one. But you cannot cross over certain lines. You can't run over the pylons. You can't, your tire can't hit the sidelines. It's a very tight course for a 900-pound motorcycle. But my God, I've been riding 900-pound motorcycles forever, so they're like an extension of my body. There's no... So anyway, I did the test, no problem, aced it, got all my paperwork, got home, had, you know, I think, 9 months or something to go ahead and get all the paperwork done, and COVID hit. And so there's no way to get back in, get a new photograph. My license itself was about to expire just because, you know, every 10 years. And couldn't get in. So just put it off, put it off, put it off. Finally went in this week. And they said, oh, no. You get to start over. You get to start over because your written safety or your riding safety test has expired. And at first they said I was going to have to take the stupid written test again. Got a manager involved, did not take the written test again. Walked out of there with my permit, showed up there yesterday morning back at Rocky Mountain Harley. Different guy, ran the very serious, man. Read every word on that sheet and made sure I understood. And, you know, you can't touch that and you can't go around that and you got to stay within this and that. And I'm like, yeah. Done it. So whipped through the test, passed. Now I'm happy at least because this very annoying little micro segment of my life is over and I'm riding, stopped and saw my grandbabies and stopped at the auto shop in Littleton that we've got. And I'm on a motorcycle. I could literally barely get into the parking lot and find a place to park because there's so many people waiting on work, this little two bay shop. And by the way, if you're a realtor out there, you have businesses, our landlord wants to sell this corner, and it's a hot real estate development corner. So I don't know if it's advertised yet. They haven't put the sign up. I hate to lose it. I've actually looked into buying it, and we cannot get the information we need. $10,000, by the way, just for an application for a permit to get a bottom line answer on whether we can make it large enough, you know, add enough extra bays to justify, instead of paying what's been a great low rent, paying a full-fledged mortgage on a $750,000 property. So I'm definitely working that angle, but because of the resistance of the city of Littleton, because I think they are focused on turning that into more real estate, high taxable development, that we're not going to get cooperation there. And it breaks our heart because the first shop, my son-in-law, you know, his dad was a mechanic and he died early of cancer. And so wasn't there to see this moment, but his spirit and his heart and his soul is all over with pictures of his Mustangs and different things. And so I know it's just breaking the family's heart to have to leave this location. We always talked about buying it. I never dreamt that it would be so impossible to get, just ideas from the city of what it's going to take for us to turn this thing into a facility large enough to justify owning it rather than renting it at a low rental rate. So if you are aware of any buildings, any, especially if they're automotive repair shops or automotive repair businesses that somebody, you know, is retired or is sick or moving out of the state or moving on for whatever reason, we are looking for a property to rent, to buy. And if it includes an auto business, we will certainly talk about that as well because we need room. And I don't think we're going to be able to build our spot there. So anyway, squirrel, rabbit hole. Back to the story at hand. I stopped by there loved on my son-in-law a little bit, went over, saw my baby girl and her two beautiful grandbabies, my grandbabies, her babies, one almost three now, one getting close to a year. And so that was awesome. Got on to Santa Fe, and I drove by the Danny Dietz Memorial Highway. You remember Danny Dietz, Lone Survivor, the movie. He's the Navy SEAL who gave up his life and saved just fought off so many of the bad guys and say there was a lone survivor. It was not Danny Dietz. And somebody had come and put up a beautiful new flag. Just a beautiful brand new American flag waving over the Danny Dietz Memorial. So that lifted my spirits and elevated me greatly. And I went into a strategy meeting. So many people are plotting and planning and looking ahead on how to be successful in upcoming elections, including the ones that are right around the corner. Had a great meeting there. It's good to hear the ideas of other people. I'm involved in so many of these sometimes hours-long meetings with powerful people around the state. As opposed to, having a lunch and then coming on the radio and telling you that the idiots, that the crazies have to get out of control of the Republican Party. We're going to talk about Peter Boyles this morning. But then after I had that meeting, I actually got to spend some time with the Dietz family, with Eric, Danny Dietz's brother, and his beautiful new wife, Ashley. Just an amazing family, an amazing couple. And they gave me a... this memorial coin, this beautiful, I'm so mad at myself. Because it was raining, I had it in my Harley, but it was raining, so I left it at home and did not bring in this coin. I wanted to hold it in my hands and describe it to you. But it's just a beautiful, heavy, well-crafted memorial coin to Navy SEAL Danny Dietz. And it just meant so much to me. And so, it was just a good day. And got some work done at the office, said goodbye to an employee who's moving on. Then I get the word. And the word is that, man, oh, man, did you hear Peter's show yesterday? And no, what, why? And you were all over it. Well, what do you mean? He was talking about you. Well, what do you mean? And this was, it's like trying to pull... to get information out of people, very, very difficult. But so I went back and I listened. And in the final hour, I think, gosh, you'd think I'd know. Yeah, it was the final hour of the show yesterday. I listened to the podcast, listened to it from start to finish. And Peter Boyles had Jack Rice, the former CIA operative, who's got, tremendous stories. Hats off to some of the things that he's done. But of course, he's a CIA insider. And we know a lot about the leadership, anyway, of the CIA. I don't really get my political perspective or my political advice from CIA or FBI operatives. Don't know that they're wrong, don't know that they're right, but I know there's a lot of reasons to question. But what I heard over and over was the same old thing that's been going on for 7 months. And because I was personally addressed, I usually don't get into these fights. There was a while Peter said, I should be coming in every 3 weeks and we'll talk about the Republican Party and moving forward. And the last time that happened, Peter's sitting right across from where I'm at right now. And Peter said, what do we do? What do we do to help? What do we do to win? And my response was, well, the first thing is stop trashing us all the time. And that was a very tense few minutes after that. I mean, people on the edge of their seat, Peter and I leaning forward, anger building. And it's the last time I've been invited on. I've been on a few times to, promote the Tea Party meeting or whatever's going on. And I love this man. I have more respect for Peter Boyles, what he does. This is a guy whose workday ends at 9 o'clock. And instead of goofing off, it's to the gym, and then he hits the books. I've never seen anybody, not only who's better read, but who has better retention of the amazing story. I've told Peter for all the years that we've been friends, write a book, man, and hopefully he's doing that. Because the things he remembers and the people that he's met and all of it, I just couldn't admire it more. And here at 78 years old, the dude shows up at 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, and delivers 4 hours of hard, solid, clear-minded, he's not Joe Biden. Just, it's great stuff. Couldn't love him or his success and the respect for his history. I just couldn't love him anymore. And yet, he is trashing me all the time. He's trashing many of you all the time. And we're going to get into that today because I went back and I listened to the podcast and I took some actual notes about what was actually said. And, you know, this all boils down to election. And, of course, for a while, we were called crazy when I was sitting here, probably the first, maybe the second, on 710 KNUS to talk about the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus originating in the lab in China, and whether it was intentional or man-made or escaped or whatever, you know, completely man-made as opposed to this combination, this playing around, this enhancement that they do to these viruses to make them lethal to humans. Those things were unknown, but we were, oh my God, there's no evidence of that. You're crazy, you tinfoil hat wearers. And I remember Peter bashing that a little bit as well. And of course, nobody talks about it now because we were right, as usual. And time will always tell on these situations. And so now we're stupid. And the guy who says, I don't want to talk about this anymore, talks about it all the freaking time. And if people call in to challenge it, well, I don't want to talk about it. And then we just get trashed. And so I've stayed quiet out of not only respect and friendship and love for all of the, you know, the friends I've met because of my relationship with Peter, the rides, the leading, you know, riding point with him on these massive biker parades and rallies for Emily and for to beat breast cancer and just the children's toy ride. I just love it all. And I figure I get my 3 hours and I have lots of other platforms around the state. So A-okay. But yesterday it was just a little too much because he was talking, he referred to me directly. Saturday morning host. You know, he's coming up tomorrow. He's a true believer. And maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe it doesn't sound like it, but it is an absolute insult. I am a trial attorney, 23 years of experience. I understand evidence. I understand persuasion. I understand separating fact from fiction. I certainly understand, you know, embellishment and radio and all-star wrestling and all of the things that factor in to this side, this small aspect of my life. But I also understand the other stuff. And so I'm lit up today. Phone lines are full. We're up against the break. I do want to get in our national anthem and all of that. I'm not going to do it this segment so we can get to our very first break. But here's something else I'm going to try and do with the show, since so much I've been hearing from folks who just never get on. You know, the lines are always full. Can't get in. I'm really going to try and do a better job. If I get into a rant, this is, you know, my opening, kind of had to lay out where I'm at, where my head's at today. But for the rest of the show, man, if we've got a guest, I'm going to spend 5 or 10 minutes with the guest and the rest with you. And in segments where I don't have guests, I'm going to, instead of talking so much, even though I've got a lot to say today, I'm going to try and divide that up and get more of your calls in. So I know lines are full, but just get ready. When you hear somebody drop off or when we come back, you know, put it on speed dial. That's how I won a Corvette, brand new from KBPI, is I had the phone number on speed dial. And when they picked up and said, no, you're caller 4, we need caller 10, I hung up and I hit speed dial and I got back in as caller 10. So it does happen. And we'll try and get to everybody today. And this is not a Boyle's bash show. That's not my point. I'm just going to lay out the things that are said and the responses to them. And before we go to break, which is right around the corner, I'm just going to put down this challenge again. Anybody with a microphone, anybody with a telephone camera with a video camera, anybody with a telephone or with a newspaper column or an internet site or whatever, pick a state, pick an issue. Pick the topic that you want to talk about logically, back and forth, with exchanges, and I will show up anytime, any place. In fact, I will likely be in next Sunday's, not tomorrow, but next Sunday's Denver Post, responding to the trash article they did on Lauren Boebert last Sunday. Anybody but Lauren Boebert. That was the front page of the editorial section in the Denver Post. I've been given permission to respond to that in the Denver Post. We'll talk about that next week if it happens. But anyway, that's the layout. When we come back, we're going to sidetrack a minute, talk to Sue Moore, who has taken over the responsibility of rating all of our Colorado legislators and some of the scores for some of our Republicans, including those I dearly and truly love, will shock you. Sue Moore joins us next here on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS. Well, my soundboard's so full I don't have my polis screaming from the floor of Congress, "I don't want it," on there to hit for you, but we're going to have some fun today as well. It's not going to be all doing battle with the weekday morning show. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Sue Moore from the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. She's got the scorecard on Colorado legislators. We're certainly going to spend some time talking about this guy. Oops, big fat fingers. Are there people in the Republican Party thinking we're sucking the blood out of kids? That was zombie creepy Joe Biden, and we've got some audio from that CNN town hall that he did that will certainly amuse you, and we will talk about it at some length. But top of the hour, 10 o'clock, the good Dr. Brian Jundepf will join us. He's got a new piece out on masks. Always love to hear from Brian, and we'll do that at 10. At 11 o'clock, there is a Colorado State legislator, Ron Hanks, from House District 60. He's been to Arizona twice. He's followed along, looked very carefully at, knows what's going on in the Arizona audit, the cyber ninjas, all of the things that we get mocked for paying any attention to whatsoever. And he will join us at the 11 o'clock. We've got full lines. Everybody be patient. Sue Moore joins us now. Sue, thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Randy.
Better believe it. Tell folks about the Republican Liberty Caucus and the scorecard, and then we'll just dive right in.
Okay. Well, just a quick background on the scorecard. This kind of evolved from another organization called Principles of Liberty. And they used to run a very similar scorecard. In fact, we stole their methodology, but they ran this scorecard for about 8 years. We picked it up about 3 years ago when the founders of that moved up to Wyoming. Rich Bratton did a wonderful job. So we kind of took over that mantle. And we run a scorecard. We read and rate every bill as it's introduced in the legislature. We have a committee of people that discuss these bills through the lens of liberty. We apply our principles. We put out either support or oppose position on that, and then we compare each of our positions with each legislator, and then we run a report card called the Liberty Scorecard. So we just finished, the session just finished, we just compiled our results, and we had some really great standout legislators. We had some others that didn't do so well, but that's kind of what we do and how we do it.
To say the least, and give the website real quick, and then we'll jump in.
Sure. All the information's at rlcco.org, and you can look at our methodology. You can look at which bills we rated. Out of the 623 bills, we rated 385. So we have a lot of data points. The reason we didn't do all of them is sometimes principles don't apply or we have conflicting principles. So, you know, we ran, again, we pulled out 385 issues, bills. We calculate their committee votes as well as their final floor votes, and then we run the numbers. So we just kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Shout out before we dive into to Rich and Lori Bratton. We sure miss them in Colorado. They saw the writing on the wall regarding Colorado, moved up to Wyoming. Gosh, it's been probably 3 years ago or so, about the time you picked up the mantle, I guess. But man, oh man, everywhere I used to be, there they were, always doing something terrific for liberty. When you talk about the principles of liberty, what are the criteria for these bills or these legislator ratings?
Well, we have pretty much eight principles that we look at. We look at individual liberty, personal responsibility, property rights, free markets, limited government, state versus federal balance of power, fiscal responsibility, and equal protection rule of law. So those are the principles that we apply to each bill. We have a robust discussion of each bill, usually once a week in a conference call. There's, you know, five or six of us on this call. So, you know, it gets a very detailed discussion before we put out our positions on each bill.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to spend too much time on the bills. We know that we're a Democrat-controlled legislature right now with a Democrat-controlled governor and a pretty radical bunch of Democrats as it is. So, but if you want to give me one or two that really something good the Republicans were able to manage to hold on to or push back against, and then something really, really bad from the Democrats?
Well, unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot good in this legislative session. The Democrats ran a lot of green bills, a lot of green energy things. They're basically trying to run oil and gas out of the state. A lot of the big one is a transportation bill, Senate Bill 260, that puts a lot of money into transportation. Very little of it goes into roads and bridges. Most of it's for electric charging stations, bike lanes, things like that. So that was a pretty heinous bill. And then there was Senate Bill 264, the reduced greenhouse emissions bill, that puts a lot of power into the Air Quality Control Commission, allows them to apply penalties and create, you know, new crimes against oil and gas companies. It's a horrible bill. But, you know, we did push back where we could. We did have some superstars in the State House. Shane Sanders.
Yeah, I want to save the best for last.
Oh, okay.
So let me direct you to, for instance, what was the best score by a Democrat, and how did that compare to the worst score or an average score by a Republican?
Well, the best score would be on the House side of a Democrat. Jennifer Arndt was a 16, and this is on a scale of 1 to 100. So, you know, all in all,
that's
and
rough.
Democrats vote pretty much as a block. You know, they run from like 6 to 16, so you can tell that they're, you know, they've got their marching orders. They vote the way they're supposed to. They follow the party line. You know, on the Republican side, you know, we run from a 96 high, Shane Sandridge, down to a 54 in the House, Colin Larson. On the Senate side, unfortunately, our highest score was a 63 with Chris Hulbert, and the lowest was Kevin Priola with a 26. So you're looking at, you know, Priola with a 26, Jennifer Arndt with a 16. That's kind of where your span is right there.
All right. And you mentioned Chris Hulbert, my good friend, does fill-in work here at 710 KNUS, the Senate Minority Leader, and someone who, as I recall, during the Principles of Liberty years, the Principles of Liberty era, was often in the top range of Republican score gathering. How do you explain his fall? That's an F, isn't it? That's not even a D.
Well, that's a D. It's okay. A D, 63.
All right.
Yeah, we don't grade on a curve. We don't pull any punches. We use the same methodology that Rich Bratton did. And occasionally I get an email from Rich saying, good job. So,
good.
You know, I think we're on target. We don't grade on a curve. We just we apply the same principles equally on the Senate and the House side. So, you know, you'll have to ask Chris Hulbert, you know, what his explanation is for
okay.
that.
Well, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to just play advocate for a moment, and not as an excuse, but just understanding that if you're the Senate Minority Leader with a tiny minority in the Senate, and you're trying to make anything at all happen or stop worse things from happening, so you develop compromises, that could be the political explanation. But I'll tell you what, in the 12 plus years now I've been a serious activist, I have really learned that compromise does not play well in politics, even though everybody says that's what the goal has to be. You have to stand on principle first and let the circumstances play out. And then, you know, hopefully people catch up to just how bad things are going and you can turn it around down the road.
Right. You know, and it's not our job to figure out how they do their job.
Sure.
All we do is run the numbers. We present the figures and let everybody do what they want with those numbers. So,
all right, go ahead.
That's kind of.
Go ahead and roll out. We're talking with Sue Moore, and she runs the Republican Liberty Caucus. We're talking about the Liberty Scorecard, the annual rating of bills and legislators. And let's go ahead and talk the top three Republicans, some names I'm very, very familiar with.
Sure. Yeah, so our top three were Shane Sandridge with a 96. I think it was actually a 96.2. And right behind him was Patrick Neville, last year's winner, I think he had a 95.8 or something. So they were very close. And then our third A was Dave Williams from El Paso County with a 93. We had four Bs. You mentioned Ron Hanks. He's a rookie legislator this year. He had an 83, which is a really high score. And again, our standards are super high. You know, we apply these principles, we run the numbers, and let the chips fall. So to get an A or a B is really, really pretty awesome. C's are not bad. You know, sadly, we just have too many F's on the Republican side. But those are our three winners, Shane Sandridge, Patrick Neville, and Dave Williams really were our superstars this year.
Sue, what can people do to get involved with the Republican Liberty Caucus, and how can they go see the scoring for themselves?
Right. All the information is on our website. It's rlcco.org. My phone number's on there. You can contact me directly. We would love to have more volunteers. You know, it's a heavy lift. The more people we have doing it, the easier the work gets. But during the legislative session, we're spending several hours a week either researching bills or on a conference call. So, you know, you do what you can when you can, but we could always use more help. We would really appreciate it.
Great job, Sue. And you know how much I admire and appreciate everything that you do. I know what a thankless job it is, and especially when you have to out, you know, Republicans, some of whom we love, as really not doing very well, at least from a principles of liberty or liberty scorecard perspective. So thank you so much, and thanks for your time this morning.
All right. Thanks for having me, Randy. Have a good day.
You better believe it. Let's jump to the phones now. We'll start in order with Chuck in Tulsa. Good morning.
Morning, Randy. The thing that bothers me is this. We have to run away from Trump philosophy, that the Trump agenda is not working. We have to run towards the middle. That's where everything is and so forth. I think what else, too, is the comment like that were knuckle draggers. That really, I don't know, that really got me fired up.
And for people just joining the show, and part of my monologue explaining why I was in kind of a battle mood today is because the last hour of Peter's show yesterday was basically talking about me and many of you. And I was identified not by name, but by love and affection and friendship and hugs and kisses and the Saturday morning host, you know. So we know who people are talking about. I don't know why you can't just use the name. And so I'm responding to Peter today, and we're going to do that throughout the course of the show. Go ahead.
Okay. I hate to say it, but the person who's supposed to be helping the Republican Party win this time around in Colorado is actually helping the sink the submarine, if you can understand what I'm saying. I think it's a shame. They do have new leadership. I heard the one interview where when they said one of the goals is voter transparency, right away that was, just chomped on and said, no, you can't go in that direction. Well, let me give you an example. What if Ron DeSantis, he's running for re-election? What if that night the voting stops and he's like way ahead, and then you wake up the next morning and he's lost by 10%? Now, let me ask you this. Do you go on and say, like, oh, we got to find a better candidate? Well, if you look at what's transpired the past 5 years, and I know I listened to a Glenn Beck podcast. He went over all the lies of the past few years, like of the government, the drill. And he says, and we're supposed to believe that they didn't want to pull out all stops to get rid of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get into the details and the nuance. I'm up against the break wall, Chuck. Any final short comment?
Yeah, I just want to say, okay, anybody who wants to run for office in Colorado needs to stay away from all that. You know what I'm saying? It's not bypass the show, go on your own or stick with you or whatever, because it's not helping. It's just not helping.
Well, here's what I'll say to you, and here's the answer I get from many of prominence in Colorado, that Trump does not poll well in Colorado. Trump took Cory Gardner down. The dislike of Trump is so palpable in Colorado that coupled with the election fraud, are killer issues for Republicans in Colorado. And I don't want you to respond because I'm just out of time for you to, but that is the argument that we'll continue to have this morning. And as we our way... I agree, but we'll continue to. Thank you so much, Chuck. Appreciate you kicking off the show this morning. Thanks for your patience. Chuck's line's open, 303-696-1971. Ron and Dave, sit tight. We do have to take our break right now. Back to the phones next on 710 KNUS. Man, oh man, every time Ted Nugent pops up on the board, just reminds me of the last time he was in Colorado, the fun we had, the Harley ride out, the fundraiser he did for Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, and just talk about a man who never backs up. And I know that's you, 303-696-1971. Lines are full. Before we jump back to the phones, I've got to do our morning routine. This always calms me down a little bit, maybe soften me up, because I am in a fighting mood in light of the garbage that I heard yesterday for an hour on the Peter Boyle show. I had to go back and listen to the podcast because not more than one person was reaching out to me. And did you hear what was being said about you personally? Not by name, but by Saturday morning host, you know, and I'm just done not talking about it. This I heard, I was actually listening to the show a few days ago.
You should want to have an accurate election, and you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No.
And Peter played that and was laughing about, you know, Donald Trump talking to the Secretary of State of Georgia. Brad was a Raffensperger. I always like to say Roethlisberger, but that's an insult to Pittsburgh Patriot fans or Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Patriots are on my mind because I've got Tom Brady sound I'm going to play for you this morning as well. I know he's not with the Patriots anymore. But Peter, that was like a mocking moment for Peter. And now the Secretary of State of Georgia has admitted in public that they have lost the chain of custody on their ballots. But you didn't hear that after the mocking clip of President Trump and his brief segment of that interaction he had with the Secretary of State of Georgia. Tired of it. Tired of it. There are two sides to the story, and I'm willing to logically, calmly lay them out anytime, anywhere, with anybody. But I'm done just being mocked. True believer. It's a religious experience. We're going to get into all of that. But before we jump back on the full lines, let's take a moment. Calm down. Realize why we're here, what we're fighting for. If you have a hat, please remove it. If you're driving, don't do anything stupid. But if you can, put your hand over your heart and join me in our wonderful Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For it. Here it comes. Look up. Nothing better. Man, I can be in my backyard and some of those jets go flying by. It doesn't happen very often, but I will stop whatever I'm doing. Feels so very good. And I, you know, it's so great to replay that because it reminds me why I'm fighting for my children, for my grandchildren, for my business, for my community, for my state, for my country. We are going to get to the truth of what happened on November 3rd, the truth of the origination and perhaps even the intention behind the origination of the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. We are going to get to the truth of January 6th and why we can't see 13,000 hours of videotape that are available and why people are still in jail months after, not because they've been convicted and are serving their sentence, but because they're waiting to go to trial. And they're so deadly, so dangerous to our country while we let out BLM and Antifa police station burners and head bashers and murderers without bail or without charges. They're so dangerous that we have to hold them. It's outrageous. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Who killed Ashley Babbitt and why was she murdered just because her head came through a window, her hands first with no weapons whatsoever? We're going to get to the bottom of that. And it's not going to stop there. We're going to fight for the truth every time we turn around. And we're going to share some of that truth with you. We're going to talk with Brian Jundep about his great article on masks and what we know. And at 11 o'clock, the representative, House District 60, Ron Hanks is his name, who has been to Arizona a couple times, kind of the Colorado delegate from the House of Representatives to go see what's happening out there, will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. But now let's get back to the phones in order of lineup. Dave and Centennial, thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hey, Randy.
Howdy.
I'll tell you what, just do what the rest of us did. The minute he and his twin Steve did the no evidence issues, stop listening to him.
Well, I wasn't, you know, but I have tattletales out there, and people.
Well, that's
listen.
Okay. The key here, Randy, with this arrogant ass is that.
Okay, Dave, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want people not to listen. I want them to engage, challenge, bring facts, not emotion.
Even when they do come out with the evidence, and they will, Arizona just is getting ready to negate the election based on all the fraud. Even when they come out with all this, those naysayers are going to say, well, that's just one state.
Yeah, I know. But we know it's brewing everywhere. We know what's happening in Georgia, which is probably the worst. We know what's about to happen in Pennsylvania. And heck, there's stuff going on in Colorado that I still can't talk about. But there's the evidence that it's happening is that the Secretary of State of the state of Colorado had to come out all of a sudden. No public knowledge of any, you know, audits or forensic audits or efforts or anything else, had to come out with emergency rules to tell every clerk and recorder that they cannot turn those machines over without this specific criteria. Why would she do that if there wasn't something going on that concerns her? It's not, oh my God, if they get the machines, they're going to, I don't know, blow up the country or something. It's because nobody wants the truth. And of course, Dominion, I think in violation of the law, is changing their coding and rebooting their systems and doing all kinds of things right now that are ahead of the schedule for that sort of thing. The evidence is coming. It takes some time. The other thing I don't like is to hear the mocking of Mike Lindell. You know, he's a unique personality, overcame major addiction, homelessness, near death to become this multimillionaire who employs, you know, just so many great Americans building an American product that sell like crazy. And he's not just talking. He's not just flapping his mouth. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's invested millions of dollars into getting these data packets. And we'll all see soon enough because his big event in South Dakota is coming up on August the 10th, I think. And he's put up a $5 million challenge to anybody who, after he presents his evidence, can come in and say, you know, it's a lie. The greatest hackers in the world are welcome to apply for the $5 million reward. And yesterday I heard him mocked for what he was doing. Like that was a bad thing. This is somebody who has put his money where his mouth is. And he may not be right on everything. And I don't believe Trump marches back into the White House in the next month or two. That is uncharted ground. But he bought out all the hotel rooms. And I heard Peter say, well, that's because nobody's going. And no, it's because he didn't want people to not be able to come if they chose to. So he bought blocks of rooms so that if people show up in a mass of humanity to want to actually see this evidence, they have a place to stay. That's a patriot, right or wrong. That's a patriot. Should not be mocked. Last word, Dave.
You know, Randy, it's back to the same thing I mentioned. The best thing, the worst thing people like Peter hate to have happen is to be ignored. Just stop listening. I know you have to, but the rest of us refuse to. Have a great day.
Well, all right. Yeah, I'm not encouraging that. Man, there is so much great radio from 5 to 9, Monday through Friday. It's great. It's the best. That's why he's been around for 100 years, at 78, going so incredibly strong. Perhaps the most well-read guy, or if not the most well-read, his retention capabilities are unbelievable. I've never met anybody quite like him. Love it. Not saying don't listen. But maybe, you know, call in and put up the fight, even if you are mocked, ridiculed, yelled at, or hung up on. I don't know. But the bottom line for me is I'm talking about it today because I was not maybe intentionally, but clearly called out yesterday. And so, you know, for me, it's silent no more. Full lines, 303-696-1971. I think Ron is next in line. So we'll get to him. Oh, you know what, Ron, I hope you can stay patient because we are going to spend just a few minutes with Brian Junedepf, Dr. Brian Junedepf, with his new piece on masking. And I'm going to try and keep my promise for these final 2 hours, you know, divide up the time between the guests and my rants and your calls just as fairly as I can. So everybody sit tight. 957, wake up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.